John chapter number 1. Very thankful. Christ is born. If you'd like to just kind of flip over a few pages to John chapter number 8, and then we'll kind of get into the message here. The Bible says in verse number 1 of John chapter number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the flesh, nor of the will of man, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, if you turn over to John chapter number 8. And we're going to read there in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for your word, which gives us understanding and helps us to see the fulfillment of Scripture, and most importantly, to understand our role in this plan of yours. We see your part of it and what you've done and who you are. But Lord, as we're here this morning, I pray that we would understand, first of all, for those who are unsaved, that they would understand that without Jesus Christ as the light of the world in their life, according to the scripture we just read, they're in darkness. They're walking in darkness. They need light so that they can find their way in this world of darkness. And the only way to get that light is to call upon Jesus, who is the light of the world. Then, Lord, for those of us who are saved and know you, and they've accepted you, we read that last verse in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, and the Bible tells us there that those who walk in the light, or who know the light, who have the light, will not walk in darkness. And so I pray that we would understand these two scenarios that are put before us today, and that we, God, would desire more than anything to be those who walk according to the light. And if there's anyone here today who's never accepted Christ, no matter their age, I pray that they would see their need for salvation and that they would turn to you and call upon your name. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We live in a world that is very dark. The Bible tells us that we actually live in a world that is so dark that without us as lights, there would be no light in the world. And I need to clarify here that light in the world is not goodness. Jesus was not goodness, although he was. Jesus was not saintly, and he was martyred, and therefore he was a good person, and that's why he's light. No, he's light because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The world was plunged into darkness in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve took of the fruit, and when they did, darkness came upon the face of the world in the form of sin in every man and every woman that would be born from that time until now. And if you're a person that might believe that there is good in every person, yes, there is good, because it's called a conscience. God gave it to us. But it's not in every person, listen to me, to do good. That's something we don't have the ability to do in and of ourselves. We are driven by self-motivation. If it's good for us, it's good for others. And that's not the way it should be for Christians, and we're going to get into that later. But right now, let's suffice it to say that we do not live in a good world. It's not getting better. It's very dark, very, very dark. If you just look at what is being justified in our society, the world society is what I'm talking about. I'm not picking on just one society. If you look at what's going on right now in our society concerning people who believe that they have been that they've been pushed out of their land, that they are being run out of what they believe, and so they were justified in beheadings and murders and the other gross, disgusting things that they did to people. And there are literally people taking their side, some even Christians who call themselves Christians, and they're justifying it as, well, I mean, what would you do? Excuse me, that's our problem. Because it is what most people would do, especially people of the darkness. Where there is no light, there is no wrong. There's nothing revealed. Without Jesus Christ in the world, the only light was through the Jews and the law and God working through them. They were to be a light to bring the worlds, the nations, to God to worship Him. And yet they worshiped darkness. And so that is where we find ourselves today, is in a world where there is complete darkness and utter darkness, and things that are not normal are not only being called normal, but they're being defended violently as if you don't receive this, then you're the problem. And then there are those who say they are followers of the light, but shine no light, worshiping the gods of this world. Well, this is a problem that was in the world and has been in the world since sin. And we're going to look at the scriptures where God tells the world the state that it's in and then tells the world what He's going to do about it. And then we will see, as we've already read, what God did do about it. If you wish, 2,000 odd years ago, tonight is what we're celebrating. Whether it was literally 2,000 years ago or literally on this very night, I don't know, but I do know this, it's the night we're celebrating it. It was the night the world was utterly without hope. None. There was just law, and nobody could keep it. It seemed impossible. And yet God, in His great mercy, wherein He loved us, sent His only begotten Son. Isaiah 9, let's go there, Isaiah chapter 9. Verse number 2. The Bible says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase in of his government, and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. We see here in Isaiah chapter number 9 that the people were walking, the nations in Galilee and the nations of the world were still walking in darkness, that God needed or had a plan that would take care of that darkness, but light needed to be sent into the world so people could see what they needed. Today, you and I have had revealed to us by the Word of God what is needed in every life. In every person that lives today, there needs to be light. And that light is not light of goodness, and it's not light of doing good things. It's a light that we cannot manufacture. It is the light of God that needs to pierce into the darkness of our souls and quicken us to make us alive. You and I can't do that. We're dead in trespasses and sin. We live in darkness without Jesus Christ. Without God's plan, there is only complete darkness. Turn to Isaiah 59, verse number 9, just over a few pages. The very thing we find ourselves in is spelled out in this verse, 59:9. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We're in desolate places as dead men. Every person without God's plan, this was where Isaiah says Israel was and where the world was when he was prophesying. And he was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to tell the world, you're searching for light, but you're not finding light. All you're finding, I love this, is obscurity. Everything seems like it should be true, but it is not true. Because only real light can show you what things are really like. One of the things that when I think about light and it being necessary, if we go anywhere, it doesn't matter where we stay, and even in our own house, Twyla is insistent that, and I've actually had to buy her a lighted mirror to take on trips because you just never know how lights are going to be. But when it comes to putting makeup on and looking at your hair and stuff, you need light. Some of you did not use light today, but that's okay. It's welcome. Obviously, I didn't, so we're all in the same boat. But you need light. If you're going to put, so without light, if you're trying to do it in the darkness, you're probably not going to be very successful. I've never really put on makeup except for a play that we did and felt weird the whole time I was wearing it. It's very greasy, but anyway, I know that, you know, if you're riding down the road and you hit a bump and you're doing your eyebrows, you could go like this, and then you'd look surprised all day. I know that if you're in the darkness, you can, when you're looking and you're looking to cover blemishes, you need light, because light reveals everything. You know, when you go to the dentist office and you're laying in the chair, if you don't do sleeping dentistry, you lay there and there's a bright light shining into your mouth. They need the light to see. And they often say, "Will you turn your head this way?" And I'm like, "You're moving my head. I don't understand. I need the light here." They're always reaching up, grabbing the light. Why? Because light reveals things. But without light, I don't know about you, but when I go somewhere and I'm walking at night, it's pitch dark. Man, I've got my hands down like this. I don't want to turn on the light because I don't want to wake up Twyla, although I don't think it could wake her up. I'm walking like this, and I'm feeling, and I get to where I'm supposed to be, and then sometimes I walk back, and I'm walking in obscurity, and I go, oh, and then Twyla wakes up. What is wrong with you? I just stubbed my toe because I was walking in obscurity. I thought I knew where I was going, but I did not. That is where you are without Christ. That's where the world was without God's plan being fulfilled. Jeremiah 13, 15, and 16. Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into shadow, the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness. The Bible tells us right there that to die without God's plan is to die in gross darkness. Darkness that cannot be taken care of ever. So pitch black that you're doomed to live all eternity in it. Because you were looking for something that was not what you needed. Now let's go back to the New Testament and look at Luke chapter number 2. So the promise of light is understood when we read in chapter 1 of John chapter, in John chapter number 1, it's understood that the promise of light was given to us in Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The light that was the life that was the light of men. And as you go further into John, the first chapter of John, you see that that person identified as that light is Jesus Christ. In fact, John the Baptist points to him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so he's directly identified as that light. So in chapter number 2, we see the fulfillment of this shown to us first in the announcement, but then explained to us further as Jesus becomes a man and begins to teach. So you know the story in Luke chapter number 2, and you know the shepherds are in the fields, verse number 8, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. So the very first thing you see in this announcement is a bright, bright light of God's glory, because God is light, shines down in the middle of darkness. It's a picture to show us light has come. And the shepherds were afraid, and the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." Now the light that came with the one angel grows exponentially brighter as this more angels join and declare again with the brightness of God's glory that the Savior has been born, and he grants peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now it doesn't mean peace where we're all not going to have war. He's talking about peace between God and man. That's the announcement. The light is come. In John chapter number 1, Jesus fulfilled that promise. If you go to John, when you look at John chapter number 8, Jesus declares himself then to be that light. He utterly declares, "I am the light of the world." There's no room for doubt who the light of the world is. We need light, and there's only one light we need. His name is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, cometh unto the Father, but by me." John chapter number 12, verse 35 and 36 say, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." Jesus did not only proclaim himself as being the light, but said, "You need to believe in the light, because I am the light." And you're not going to have access to the light all the time. People say, "Well, I'll wait until I die. On my deathbed, I'll accept Christ. You don't know. You might go into gross darkness well before that. You have no idea. You can't say, I'll wait for the light. No, Jesus said, the light's not always available. It's not always going to be here for you. And God himself in Genesis said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. God is not going to continue to give and give and show without judgment following. It's a pattern that cannot be dismissed in the Bible. He does show mercy and grace, but folks, this day of receiving the light right now is running out. Well, what's going to happen? I'll wait until after the rapture, and when you all are gone, then that'll prove to me. No, the Bible says a great delusion will be sent upon you, and you'll believe a lie. It's exactly what the Bible says. Jesus very clearly says, you're not going to have the light with you long. You better pay attention and do something with it now and walk as children of light. Verses 46 through 50 in chapter 12 say, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I am come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. They're debating whether Jesus is really truly the light. The Pharisees want to know, are you really truly the light? And Jesus said, well, let me explain it to you like this. And he begins to take scripture. I am the one who came into the light as the world. I am come is exactly his wording, which means I'm here right now and I am in the world right now, and I will be in the world as long as God's plan extends that by grace to man. It's here now. Here's what you do. You receive me now, you receive the light now, and you go into light everlasting. You don't receive me now, and you go into darkness that's everlasting. But my children will walk as children of light. Now, there, the disciples must be hearing and saying to themselves, well, we believe that he's the light. We see that he's the light. We believe that he's the light. So first of all, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you're in darkness. You're not walking in light, and you're going to die in darkness, and you're going to live eternity in darkness. No light, zero. Which is, darkness is absent of light. Which means God will not ever be there. Never to be called on. You die, you burn, you fall forever and ever. Brother Ron, I mean, why are we preaching that on Christmas? That is why Jesus came. He is the only light that gives escape from that destiny that man is. Look, not just you. Nobody's saying, you're the wicked sinner. No. Every person that has ever been born is born into darkness. All you have to do is watch a little kid when they get to be 18 months old. Many people say of their children, they're nightmares when they're 18. When they're 12, getting ready to be 13, it's like they reverted back to when they were evil. You don't have to teach kids to be evil. I don't think anybody in here had, I mean, if you're, maybe, I don't see it happen often. A parent's take you by the hand, okay, now here's what I want you to do, disobey everything I say. If you're a parent like that, you should not be a parent. Because they don't need you to teach them to be dumb and evil. Every child's evil, not my children. See, that's the beautiful thing. I'm not picking one person out in this room and saying, well, you know, you blah, blah, blah. No. Every person, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ is the light of the world today. But here's the second part to this message. Where is he? Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 1 that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Jesus told the disciples in John 14, 15, and 16 that he was going to send a comforter to them, someone who would guide them in all truth. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today, the Holy Spirit of God moves in and you become the light of the world. As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you, Jesus said to the disciples. He wasn't just talking to the disciples. In John chapter number 17, he prayed for those who would believe on him yet never see him or know him, and by faith that they would see his glory as well as the disciples when he is returned to his glory. And he's praying to God the Father that we would not be taken out of the world, but that we would be in the world and we would be continue the work of the Father. He doesn't want us to be kept out of the world. He wants us to be protected from the world. How did he do that? Giving us the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, that's fine. And I'm saying this on more of a general basis, because any person in here that has accepted Jesus Christ knows this. You can say you didn't when you get to heaven, but you'd be lying. And God's going to know that. Every person in this room knows that when you got saved, something was different. I was saved when I was 9 years old. The reason I remember it is because there was something different. I couldn't explain it at 9, but I knew it was there. Well, that's because... No. It's because light entered into my life. Period. It had nothing to do with me. An overwhelming presence of peace and great, that wasn't necessarily the thing that kept me, but I will tell you this much. Things became illuminated in my life, like what was really right and wrong besides what I thought was right and wrong. What the Bible says is true, even though I did not know that I believed that it was true. No. I remember as I was growing older, understanding more and more, when I would doubt even, you know, what is being saved? What if Jesus came right now? Would I go? And every time it would come back to this light, the moment the light entered. There's a moment in a born-again believer's life that there was something that was different that's not explainable. And it's life-changing. It's life-changing. Except we don't live like it's life-changing. We don't live like we walk in the light anymore. We're the Jews. Well, listen to what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus says about the followers, or the Bible says about the followers of the light. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Watch. The angel comes down in the pitch darkness as the shepherds are abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And boom! The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Here's the picture fulfilled. This is what God has done. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, light shines in the darkness, and boom! The glory of the Lord is revealed to you. No. He's in you. There's something different. There's something knowable that you know you're going to heaven, but you don't know why. It's because you've moved from darkness to light. That's what the Bible says right there. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That glory that is in us, watch, listen. That glory that is in us is not meant to be kept secret. It's meant to be seen in this body. It's meant to shine to people. We'll be weird, yes. Because we're light in darkness. We are light. We are light right now. Jesus in us, the glory of God in us, is the only light in the world. There is no other light. No, this religion is light. No, it's not. This book I read to get showed me light. No, the light is in you. It should be coming out of you, shining out, manifesting God to the world. Why? We are the light in the darkness. We're to walk as children of light. Ephesians chapter number 5. Flip over there very quickly. Ephesians chapter number 5. Mostly known for telling husbands and wives what to do. But before any of that, this is what the Bible says. Let no man deceive you, verse number 6, with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And he's given that list there of things that evil people are known for. You can read it. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Listen, for ye were sometimes darkness. So at some time you were darkness. Why? Because everyone is at some time. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Look at verse number 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Look at verse number 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16 tells us the world's not getting better. The days are evil. You were in darkness, so walk in the light as a child of the light. Why? Because you live in a world that is dark. We spend so much of our time trying to fit into the world, when in actuality, you can try all of your life, and you might look like you fit in the world, but you actually never will as a Christian. And we find ourselves in uncomfortable situations, and we try to make ourselves comfortable by running away from the light and letting more darkness in. And all that does is cover up the very thing that we are, which is Jesus, who is the light that entered into the world. And he shined like the light of the world. And he told the disciples, don't put your candle under a bushel. A city that sit on a hill should shine with light. Here we're told, walk in the light. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. And they're only going to get worse. Look at Philippians chapter number 2. Isn't it amazing? These are all common verses, but they wouldn't be verses that would mean anything to us without the light that's come into the world. Philippians chapter number 2. Verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do you know when you come to church, God is working in you with the light to dispel the darkness that came in during the week? No, darkness came in. All of us have let darkness in during the week. No, maybe intentionally or not, but it still came in. We need church. We need Bible reading every day. We need prayer. Look, yeah, you need a job and you need food. That's right. We do. We need that. But that's not our priority in this world. Well, it is mine because I've got to learn to live in this world. You don't have to learn to live in this world. You will naturally live in this world because you are of this world. And when you're saved, the light starts shining and you should be doing many things like this in your life. That's not okay. That's not okay. That seems right to me, but that's not okay. See, you and I have the Holy Spirit of God working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Every born-again believer in here right now has light working in them to push darkness out so that they will be brighter lights to shine. Every one of us. Right now, every one of us. Once you're saved, the work begins. That's why there's miserable Christians. Because they don't want the darkness out. Because we're lovers of darkness more than light because our deeds are evil. Still applies to us. Our flesh is still fighting. No. I don't. You know, we often we'll go to camp, and we'll hear these testimonies of kids at camp, the young people at camp that have been that have this darkness in their life and this darkness in their life, and we act like, oh my word, no. If you knew the darkness in this room, do you know that doesn't stop God's glory from working in you to drive the darkness out? Because He is going to will and do of His good pleasure. What is His good pleasure? One day. Listen, one day. Because you accepted Jesus Christ whenever. One day, you will be fit for heaven. Why? Because of you? Nope. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. The work that God is doing in us is to expel darkness so that the closer we get to darkness, the brighter our light shines instead of it being tarnished by the darkness. Hidden by the darkness. Brother Ron, I know Christians. No. Look, we all know somebody. Think about you. Because this is self-evaluation. I'm thinking of no one except Ron Jones right now. And do not like the darkness that comes in. Sometimes I know it's there. Sometimes I have no idea. Well, I know that about you. That's our problem. I can see it in others too, but who I need to see it in is me. Why? Because God is working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How does He do that? With His light. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, speaking to the church of Philippi, says, you live in a crooked and perverse nation, so shine as a light. Let me tell you how to do it. Know the Word of God. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. When you know the Word of God, the light grows brighter. If you can't hang reading your Bible, let's say 10 minutes a day, you need to do some deep work in the Word to drive out the dark. If you're saved, you should be able to pick up that Bible and read it, and it should feed you. If it doesn't, there's some dark problems. It's getting pitch dark in there. And believe me, it can happen like that, and suddenly you're acting like the rest of the world and there's no light. The world goes, hey, welcome. You're like, hey, thanks. It's where I always wanted to be. And then you go home and the light starts working and you go, ugh, why did I do that? Well, that's not you. That's the light. Because God is going to will and do of His good pleasure. So, two people are here this morning. Those who've accepted Christ. Maybe you're walking in the light. That's a glory to God. I'm not saying everybody walks in darkness, but I am going to tell you, darkness gets in sometimes and we're not fully aware of it. And then there's the other you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you don't know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. You have no idea. You don't know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. In fact, you would say this, my life is dark. I do live in a dark world, and the world is dark. And some of these things I'm in agreement with. Now is the question. Do you want to live eternity in darkness? You know, there's one, and I was completely unaware of this, but there's one common fear in human beings, and that's pitch darkness, where you can't see. So dark that you can feel the dark. You hear a noise, you wonder where it is coming from. What is it? And we kind of talk about our kids wanting to sleep with lights and how much it bothers us, but I get it, because they are afraid of the dark. Their minds are going 24/7. The Bible tells us that's how our minds work. Can you imagine for all eternity no light? Well, I believe that when you die, nothing happens. You're absolutely right. It's pitch dark. Except there's a couple things added that you're not ready for. One of them is a never-ending burning. The Bible says, where their worm dieth not. The second thing is, you continually feel like you're falling, yet never landing. You can't catch yourself. And there you will spend eternity without Christ, because when you had the chance, you did not receive the light. Now, I'm not fond of the dark, so I much rather would be in the light. You say, well, I don't need that crutch. You're right, it's not a crutch. It's a life choice. Because, Christian, when you chose to start walking in the light, when you received the Savior, you signed up for this. I'll shine your light. I'll shine it. You sent it. You gave us your glory. You sent it to earth. God, I will shine the light. Is there more darkness than light in your life? If you're saved, that's sad, because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. What are you as a follower of Him? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never called upon the name of the Lord. You don't know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. And you'd say, Brother Ron, I don't know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven.